Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle.
This is Patriots Playbook.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the seven route.
Patriots Playbook, breaking down last Sunday's game.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because okay. The backers are going to fast read over the top.
Next Sunday's game.
Want to go odd. 5, Patriots Playbook. 51 mirror.
And the rest of the 2007 NFL season.
Because that guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
And some of the fun stuff in between.
Even. 51 grapes. Even. 51 grapes.
And now... he's John Rook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Is there a big game this week?
Gary's looking at me like, what, have you got three heads?
Revs Red Bulls.
Revs Red Bull, that's right. That's exactly right. Saturday night, here at Gillette Stadium, the winner moves on in the MLS Cup Eastern Conference playoffs. Be here, aloha. And, oh, yeah, some little thing going on out in Indianapolis on Sunday. Welcome inside Patriots Playbook here on Patriots.com radio. I'm John Rook. Week 9 upcoming. Yeah, it's the week that we've all been waiting for, I think, for the most part, on this calendar season. And, obviously, we're all excited for it to happen. It's happening on the heels of, obviously, here in New England. And for those of you who are Red Sox fans of, a World Series championship being celebrated, the parade obviously going on today in downtown Boston, which means there's about 500,000 people scattered throughout Boston. Thank goodness Foxborough is a little bit away from that. But nevertheless, there's a certain electricity, a certain energy in the hub today. And I'm sure that energy is going to stay at a pretty high kilt all week long simply because of the matchup that's coming up on Sunday. We got a great show for you planned again today, like we always do. But today I think you'll be particularly pleased to know that the one and only Jim Nantz from CBS Sports is going to join us. They have a national conference call with members of NFL media nationwide at 3 p.m. Eastern time today. Jim's going to join us at 2:30. So you're going to get a chance to hear from Jim Nantz before everybody else in the free world gets a chance to hear from Jim Nantz. Obviously, he'll be doing the play-by-play with Phil Simms on CBS this Sunday afternoon in Indianapolis at the Dome. And so he'll be joining us here in about 25 minutes or so. And, where else can you get this kind of stuff except Patriots Playbook, right? So that's coming up in the program. Brian Lowe from Patriots Today will also join us in the second hour of the program. And I'll be honest with you, we have a ton of emails. I know we had a bunch of calls during PFW in progress, which is great. I want to continue with that thought process, kids. So if you hadn't had a chance to call in and get your 2 cents worth in, particularly on running up the score, now's the time to do it. Because that's really where I was going today. I mean, honestly, in light of the 52-7 win over the Redskins on Sunday, there's quite a bit of talk not only around these parts, not only amongst Patriots fans as well, but around the country over whether or not the Patriots are doing the right thing, whether or not the Patriots are doing what they should be doing, whether or not the Patriots are acting under the guise of good sportsmanship. I mean, I believe, we've had a couple of Washington players, and I'm sure you probably read some of this stuff online, basically call out the Patriots and say that, you know, you shouldn't be doing this. One of them even going up to Coach Belichick afterward, allegedly, and saying, you know, basically, you don't have any class. And so in that regard, trying to think back over the years of futility here in Foxborough, trying to think back over the years of really, if you're a fan of any team, forget being just a fan of the Patriots. How about being a fan of any team? Any team. Pro, college, it doesn't matter. And when your team just, for whatever reason, doesn't get it together, can't get it together, and they get pummeled, and it happens to everyone, your initial reaction must be, payback's a bitch. Can't wait to get you back. You know, wait until next year. Wait until next time. How about the whatever? But that's your initial reaction. All right, we'll get them next time. Is it not? Isn't that? I'm asking you. Is that not your initial reaction? We'll get you next time. And so what the Patriots are doing now, by my estimation, is they're getting people back. The fact is they have assembled a football team that no one can stop, much less slow down, to this point in time. Why should they apologize for that? Now, whatever you want to believe about, you know, retaliation for Spygate or for any perceived slight or any perceived, you know, punishment that came from the NFL because of that, the fines or the taking away of a draft pick, whatever you want, okay? First of all, let me go back to something that I have maintained from day one, and if you listen to this program for any length of time, you know this is exactly where I stand. The right answer is always somewhere in the middle of whatever it is you're discussing. It's never one end or the other in terms of extremes. It's always somewhere in the middle. So to that end, if you believe that maybe the Patriots might be trying to take advantage of that, maybe the Patriots are a little miffed, maybe Bill Belichick has it out for the NFL, if not every team on his schedule, maybe they're, okay, whatever. Fact is that, you know, he's doing exactly what he says they're doing, like he answered in the post-game press conference after the game on Sunday. We're just out there playing. We're just playing football. We're not paying any attention to anything. What would your others do, kick a field goal? I mean, to me, that's more of an insult. That's actually trying to put points on the board. But if you're going for it on fourth down and you're in scoring position, you know, to do that, I mean, doesn't the defense have to have, you know, some cojones in order to stop somebody? I mean, don't you have to man up a little bit and stop someone? Fact is that physically the matchups man for man are difficult for defenses to stop. They're not impossible, but they're hard to stop. Why should the Patriots stop playing? I don't get this. I really don't get that attitude, especially in light of the fact, like I said to open up with here, I'm really having a hard time with this one. As many times as the teams that I've followed have gotten whacked over the years, and your own favorite teams, you know, are included in this, Patriots fans especially over the years, let's go back to the perfect 72 Dolphins season. I believe we've already talked about this a couple of times this season. 52-0 over the Patriots that year in 72. 52-0. Now, I don't know if anybody actually remembers what they thought that day, if you even go back that far. But the fact is that I'm going to wager just a guess here. I'm going to take a good, solid, what I believe to be educated guess and say that, oh, you know what, can't wait till payback. Payback's going to come, and when it does, wham! And all of a sudden, here's payback. As if three Super Bowl championships in the previous 6 years was not enough, payback is coming this year in the form of steamrolling people on the scoreboard, and people are saying, players are saying, maybe other coaches are grumbling. Certainly the media is saying, running up the score. The Patriots are running up the score. They have no regard. They have no, you know, class. They have no whatever. And so I really wanted to continue some of what I know you've already emailed in about today and what you've already called in about, because quite frankly, this is going to be subject matter for the entire week. Gang, this is not, just like the Spygate story, will never completely disappear this season. And maybe this is an offshoot. Maybe this is a tentacle of Spygate. It's possible. I think that's entirely possible. Well, whatever it is you think, the story's not going away. So it's going to be a part of our discussion of the Colts this week. And, yes, we are going to get into X's and O's. I really hope that I know that we've got, you know, a good amount of traffic on the website today and listening into this program, and I welcome you. I thank you for joining us, especially if you're trying us out for the very first time. We're very happy that we're here between PFW and Progress and Patriots Playbook. You know, we're the only team in the NFL that does daily streamed live programming to this extent. You know, we'll bring you 6 hours of programming every day, minimum of. And, you know, it's because there's a demand for it, and we're glad to be able to do it. And we're definitely happy to be here to give you our thoughts and to give you the thoughts of others, you know, who not only play but cover the sport. That's what we're here for. And we're here to be a sounding board. And we're here to be, for those of you Patriots fans who are outside of New England and can't get enough of your team, this is an avenue for you to get your fix. So send us an email, pick up the phone and give us a call. Give us your questions, your comments, your concerns, your criticisms, whatever it may be. That's why we're here. And especially if you are from the other side, if you're from the opponent, and I know we do have some Colts listeners. In fact, you've emailed the show several times. You've emailed me personally, in fact. Great, let's hear from you. This is the week. Let's go. absolutely ready to talk issues, to talk football. I think it's going to be a slam-bang, wild football game. It may be one of those games that we're talking about for 10 or 20 years from now. It could be one of those games that the last team that has the ball wins. It could be. It could be. We may have records set, and then again, we may not. You know, sometimes stranger things have happened. Games that, you know, we think will be offensive shootouts can turn into defensive struggles just like that. I don't know that that will be the case this weekend, but you never know. And that's part of what we will be talking about this week. We'll hear from the players. We're going to hear from the media. We're going to hear from the coaches involved. Like I said, Jim Nantz from CBS Sports is going to join us here in about 15 to 20 minutes in advance of his national conference call with Phil Simms, with members of the NFL media from around the nation at 3 o'clock Eastern time. So we're going to get a preview of that, and you are going to get it first here on Patriots.com radio. Where else would you get it, right? And right here inside the playbook. So we got that to get at. I want you, though, to take your time right now, and let's continue, because those of you that have sent in all your emails during the course of the last 24 to 48 hours, or at least since the end of the Redskins game, and I know that's been a topic of conversation pretty much since that time. Those of you who have called in, we're going to continue with that line of questioning because there have been so many people that have done it. I'm also going to ask you that if you emailed in during PFW Progress and you did not get your email read, I want you to resend it. And the reason I want you to resend it is quite frankly, we're going through a lot of these, and a lot of them are worth talking about, but we don't have the time, frankly, to edit on the fly like we normally do around here. So in that regard, if you want your email read, if you want your thought process to be shared with Patriots Nation here, I want you to resend it to me. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com. And the telephone number, again, same as PFW, same as it is every day that we do broadcast here on Patriots.com. It's 508-543-7482. Again, 508-543-7482. And we'll be glad to put you on the program, and we'll talk a little football. Now, again, the topic of the day has to do with how you feel about running up the score. Are the Patriots running up the score? Do you care if they run up the score? Do you care how the Patriots are perceived by not only teams and fans from around the league, but how the league and how the media perceives the Patriots to be? I think that's a legitimate question, because I know that, you know, over the past, when the Patriots were winning, you know, each of their first three Super Bowls, okay? When the Patriots were winning each of their first three Super Bowls, there was always an issue of respect. There's always been an issue of, well, how come the Patriots don't get respect? How come nobody here thinks the Patriots are any good? How come people are always saying the Patriots aren't any good even though they're winning? I mean, even during the 21-game win streak a couple of years ago, there was an issue from Patriots fans over not getting respect. And I'm not sure what you're really looking for or what you're really asking for. So now we've gone from not getting enough respect during winning three Super Bowls to, you know, the respect turning against us. Now we're running up the score. Now we're the bullies. Now we're the big, bad, you know, ass bleeps on the NFL block, kicking rear end, taking name, leaving no prisoners. I mean, isn't by the very nature of the sport football that way anyway? I mean, isn't that what you're supposed to do when you have, you know, I mean, we're talking about, you know, man-on-man physical combat. I mean, I realize it's not Army stuff, and that's obvious this is a game, but nevertheless, it's the physical nature of the sport that leads you to believe that, you know, physical confrontations, you're going to want to just, you know, beat down on your opponent until they can't get up and walk anymore. That's the point of the sport. That's the point of it here, to be physically imposing, physically impressive, and to keep going until the whistle blows. And then when the whistle blows, it's over, you come out, you shake hands. And if you're the one left standing, okay, you say, you know, thank you for the match. Or if you're the one left, not left standing, you know, congratulations, best man won today, we'll get you next time. Isn't that what it's all about? It's kind of how I look at it. Craig in South Carolina. Good afternoon, Craig. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine. How you doing?
Good.
Good. You know, just touching on the subject you were discussing, back when Adam Vinatieri went to the Colts,
yeah,
we heard a lot of people say, well, you know, there goes the Patriots because, you know, he was so good. And we won those three Super Bowls. And, you know, I remember broadcasters and correspondents looking back saying, yeah, but, you know, they're a dynasty, but, you know, they only won each of those games by three.
Right.
There won't be any of that this year. There won't be. I've got no problem with them running up the score whatsoever. You know, and it's like I told the guys on PFW. There was a time when our defense was really, really strong, and that's the reason why we won Super Bowls was because we beat up on people. If they caught the ball, we punished them. And then everybody started whining about how physical we played. And next thing you know, they're reemphasizing rules, and, you know, you can't touch the wide receiver beyond 5 yards. They're calling pass interference more than they used to. And now that they're not calling holding on the offensive line anymore, we got these great players on our offense finally. Brady's got weapons. And we're able to score like we're scoring. We've always tried to score as many points as we could. It's just that, you know, between the rule changes and Josh doing a great job, you know, calling the offensive schemes, and with our players playing like they are, you know, the rest of the league's just going to have to put up or shut up. I got no problem with it at all.
Well, I think by the very nature of it, the idea here is to outscore the opponent. So any way that you can do that, I mean, that's what you're going to do. And if you physically, as I mentioned earlier, and as you kind of alluded to, Craig, if you physically provide a mismatch there, where is it written that it says you got to let up?
Exactly. And the way I look at it is, you know, Brady is on pace to set all these records, which is great. But the team is on pace to set a lot of records as well. And although I've heard a lot of people talk about, you know, Belichick he's mad at the NFL because of Spygate. He was the only one that got his pants pulled down around his ankles when other teams are doing all this stuff. That's what I keep hearing from everybody. But I still think a strong part of the reason why we continue to have the pedal to the metal is because the players, the veteran leadership in that locker room did not like people questioning their past success because of Spygate. So they're out there now, and they're going to stomp anybody that's in their path.
Well, I think there's probably some truth to that, Craig. Thank you. I appreciate the phone call today, and it's always good to hear from you. I think there's definitely some truth to that. Like I said earlier, there's the answer is always somewhere in the middle. And the fact is that, you know, I'm sure that there's a certain faction of players, if not maybe a little bit in everybody in that locker room, that thinks along those lines. And that's like, you know what, our coach is getting attacked and, you know, he's doing nothing but advocating for us. And, you know, by God, this is exactly what we're going to do. And so I think that's, you know, probably a little what these guys are doing. But, you know, the other fact of it is, honestly, here's how I kind of look at it. These guys are just playing. They don't worry. When the whistle blows and the ball is kicked off, they don't worry about perception. They don't worry about what I care about or what you care about. They're out there with one thing in mind, and that is to beat up on their opponent. Score more points, win their own individual assignment, and if everybody wins their own individual assignment out on the field, then the team is obviously going to have tremendous, sometimes overwhelming success. That's what's happening here. Why? Because the Patriots have put together the right pieces of the puzzle. They've got impressive offense. They've got strong enough defense. They have guys relatively healthy. I mean, Richard Seymour came back this week. It's only going to get worse for people. And I think, you know, I understand why last week we were kind of complaining a little bit about the whole Greg Easterbrook thing on TMQ on ESPN.com, you know, the whole good versus evil thing. Fine. You know what? And the reason that we talk about it then, and we're going to talk about it this week as well, is because, again, so many of you have been worried about perception. Everybody wants to be perceived as the nice guy. Everybody wants to be perceived as the good sport. Everybody wants to be perceived as the champion in every step of the way. You know, being able to hold your head high, being able to do things the right way, you know, being number one in your community, work for charity, do this, do that, and win the right way on the field or wherever it is that you're competing. You want to be able to win the right way. And people can look and they can say, you know what? Congratulations to them. They do it the right way. What the hell is the right way? What is the right way?
I mean, I know where I think you're going to go with that, but I openly question what the right way is. I mean, is it setting a good example? Well, okay. What example are they setting? Fact is that they are physically beating up on people, especially when it comes to offense to opposing teams' defense. Shouldn't we also be castigating opposing teams for coming in here and being weak defensively? If we're going to, you know, blame the Patriots for running up the score, shouldn't we also lay some of that blame on teams for not being able to stop them? I personally think so. That's why when I hear players or I hear grumbling, I think it's nothing but pure, unadulterated whining. Stop whining! And you know what? If the Colts win this Sunday, and I do think they have a shot. Obviously, they have a shot. They're the defending Super Bowl champs. They're going to take this personally, the fact that they're now a 4.5-point underdog in their home field, and they're the defending champs. They're going to take it personally. So if anybody's going to have the mental edge this week, it's going to be the Colts. But if the Patriots lose, I'm sure there will be a large faction of fans around the league that will be applauding. Way to go, Colts. Good job out of you. You beat those bully Patriots. Yeah, and that's, you know what? If that's what happens, then you know what? You take it like a man. You don't whine. Just like these other teams that the Patriots have played, they should take their beatings like men, like professionals. Take your beating. Come back another time. I mean, it can't get any more simple than that. When you can come back and play on the field, you know, show what you got then. You know, if the Redskins are really upset by the way that the Patriots, quote-unquote, ran up the score, fine. You can do something about that, Washington. Win the freaking NFC and come back to the Super Bowl. Then you'll get another shot because that's the only other time they'll ever play each other again this year. It's the only time you get a chance for a rematch. You hold up your end of the bargain. We'll try to hold up ours, and hopefully we can meet in Arizona. How's that? Does that work for you? And I would say that to any other team. I would say that to any other group of fans. You know what? That's great. Take your best shot. That's fine. That's what this is all about. This isn't rocket science here, kids. Patriots have put together a very talented team. This may go down as one of the most talented teams in NFL history. Especially if they get through the regular season undefeated and then add a Super Bowl championship on top of it. There is no doubt in my mind that the 07 Patriots will go down with the 85 Bears, the 72 Dolphins, 62 Packers. Who else? Who else am I leaving out? Somebody in 1946. Was that the Chicago Cardinals? Chicago Bears, maybe? I'm just talking about the teams that have all been mentioned in the same breath as greatest team ever in NFL history. These Patriots will go down with them. And maybe be on top of that list if all this happens. So instead of complaining and whining about the Patriots running up the score, how about appreciating the fact that, you know, what the Patriots and what New England and what the front office and what the coaches and what the players and what the support staff has done in this franchise, what they've done is they have put together a rather remarkable product, one that could very well be unprecedented, certainly in modern-day NFL history in light of the salary cap. In the salary cap era, when all things are supposed to be equal, the Patriots have found a way to separate themselves from the pack. And yet they're being accused of running up the score. And yet they're being compared to being the devil in the battle for good versus evil. I mean, please. Anybody who says that the Patriots are evil, who says that they're poor sports, come on. You're whining. You're whining. This is the National Football League. And that's really, I don't know if there's any other way to put it. I really don't know. And so I want to know what your attitude is about it. I want to know how you feel about it. Do you care how the Patriots are perceived any longer? So many of you, again, have in the past. Cared about what national perception was for this team? Do you care no longer? I think that's a legitimate thing to ask. And if you don't, that's fine. Why? Why do you not care what other people, what other teams, what other fans, what the media, why do you not care what they think about your Patriots? And if you are a fan of another team, whether you're a Colts fan or somebody else who may be logged into the program today, I would ask you, you know, quite simply, I'd ask you the same thing. Why do you think the Patriots are running up the score? Based on what you've seen? You'd rather have them kick field goals and rub teams' faces in the dirt? You still have to tackle. I realize that there's some concern over whether or not, you know, the Patriots, you know, going on fourth down and continuing to drive, we're throwing the ball deep. But then you've got guys like, you know, Matt Castle and second and third teamers in there that why would you tell them to take a knee? See, this is what I've never understood about when backups come into the game. Why would you tell the backups to take it easy? They don't get a chance to go out on the field as much as the regulars. So wouldn't you think that they're out there trying to perform for their professional lives, that they're trying to make a good impression on the coaches and their teammates to show that they can hold up their end of the bargain, that they too can play, and maybe, just maybe, win a job somewhere? You know, that's kind of where I'm going with this. Why would you ask them to do that? If anything, you'd want to ask the regulars, the starters, you know, maybe to cut back a little bit. And what do the Patriots do? Well, they pull the starters. Now, maybe they didn't pull them in the last couple of weeks as quickly as you or I or some others think they should have. That, I will give you, is a real possibility. You know, when they put Brady back in against Miami and they excuse us, well, you know, another turnover and it's a 2-touchdown game, I realize that very few of you really believe that. I'm not sure that I believe it. And then, of course, with Brady, you know, still throwing the ball, when the team was up, 45-7? Or actually, it was 45-0 on Sunday against the Redskins, and they're still throwing the ball. Okay, I can buy that. I think that's a legitimate argument. And what's going to end up happening because of that is that somebody, if the Patriots, you know, dip into that well one too many times, what will happen is somebody out on the field is going to take a cheap shot at a guy like Brady or a guy like Moss or somebody else are going to take a cheap shot and try to knock him out of the game. That's what the Patriots are prompting here. So if there is some running up the score going on, they won't be able to get away with it for too much longer, if that's what they're doing. I'm not saying that's what they're doing, but if they are, someone will take a shot. We won't like it, and we'll scream bloody murder, and we'll say, hey, that's awful, but you have to understand what the perception is. The perception is that the Patriots might be doing this, and if they are, well, guess what? We're going to get you back. We're going to fight fire with fire. You're taking cheap shots at us, we're going to take a cheap shot at you. That's how this game is played. So the Patriots better be careful. If they are running up the score, they better be careful with that. Someone will take a crack on their heads. And obviously that's something that nobody around here wants to see have happen. So I want you to contemplate that for a couple of moments as well. And let me know what you think. Webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482. That's our telephone number. And again, if you emailed earlier to PFW in Progress, I'm going to ask you to resend your emails so we can read them under the guise of this program if it has to deal especially with the topic of running up the score. Because, again, I think that that is a... I think that's a prevalent comment to make, and I think it's going to be a topic of conversation all week long, without a doubt about that. All right, let's see if we can't get a couple of emails in here for you. This one comes from Dan, who says, John, what's the difference between the starting offense staying on the field deep into the fourth quarter in a blowout and the starting defense staying on the field the entire game to preserve a shutout, even if the score is as lopsided as it was on Sunday? I don't think either group should be criticized for playing as well as they can ever. This is a professional league where every team is able to build their rosters and coaching staffs the same way with the same limitations, so the only excuse they have for being so inferior is that they are simply not as good. They should just accept it and take it like professionals. Dan, you said it very well. I really can't say it any better than that. I think you're dead spot on. What's the difference between a starting offense staying on the field in the fourth quarter in a blowout and the defense staying on the field the entire game to preserve a shutout? No team, no group, no, you know, individual should be criticized for playing to the top of their game. We demand each player out there to play at the top level, top effort, 100, 110%, however you want to term it. We demand that as fans. The coaches demand that as their bosses. Ownership ultimately demands that, because if success doesn't translate to, you know, profit, then somebody's head rolls. And the media demands it, too. The media doesn't bestow honors, and the media doesn't bestow accolades, and the media doesn't talk about you if you stink. So we demand this perfection amongst these individuals, amongst these players. So why should they ever, ever let up? You put it well, Dan. It's a professional league where every team is able to build their rosters and their coaching staffs the same way, with the same limitations, so the only excuse they have for being inferior is that they're just not as good, which is exactly the case. And like I said earlier, if you get whipped, accept your whipping and move on. You want to do something about it, then regroup, come back, win your division, win in the playoffs, and we'll do it again in the Super Bowl, and we'll see how far you've come. And if you whip us then, guess what? We'll congratulate you. I'm glad that, you know, it took a team of the caliber of New England to bring the best out in you. Whatever. The only thing you have to be guarded with now, again, like I said, is cheap shots. They'll happen. Be careful. That's all I mean. I mean, Brady wasn't even touched on Sunday. Brady was not even touched by Washington overall. So my guess is that if someone, you know, slips on the offensive line and someone gets around them and gets the shot to take a shot at Tom, Tom had better be ready for everything that's coming. There will be some roughing penalties. There will be this. There will be that. You know, God forbid something happened to him, but it's coming. Count on it. It's coming. So I think you as fans, and everybody else will have to probably, hey, I'm telling you, right now, it's coming. So just be ready for it. Especially if these players that are playing against the Patriots are under the impression that the Patriots are taking shots at them by running up the score. Gary from Syracuse says, will these guys learn that the Pats don't care what other teams think? And if they did that to the Redskins, wait till they play someone that ratted them out like the Jets. I also think that if they called it a rule infraction instead of a cheater, Bill and the Pats wouldn't be as mad or heartless, because we found out that you can tape the other coaches in the booth but not on the field. Remember, they have family and friends that they have to explain why people are calling them cheaters, and I'm sure they are ticked. Well, I think that's human nature, Gary, to be honest with you. I think it's human nature. If you're embarrassed, as Craig in South Carolina put it a couple of minutes ago, if you're caught with your pants down, then, yeah, naturally you're going to be a little bit embarrassed. If you're pantsed in public, and that's basically what happened here to the Patriots, yeah, you're going to be red-faced. And so how best do you get over the embarrassment? You take matters into your own hand, and you go whack somebody in the mouth, you know, legally speaking, you know, especially if you're playing football. That's what happens. You let your actions speak louder than anyone's words. And I think, you know, Coach Belichick is doing that. I think all of those guys in the locker room down the hallway here are doing that. I think a lot of fans are doing that. You know, so, you know, like I said, you know, we talked about this after Spygate came around. You know, it's been hard to believe it's been almost a couple of months now. But I think we said this then, if I'm not mistaken, please correct me if I'm wrong. And I know if I'm wrong, you will correct me. But didn't we not say that this is going to give the Patriots a boulder-sized chip on their shoulder the rest of the season? Yes, we did. And what you're looking at now in this, you know, 52 points against the Redskins and 48 points against the Dolphins, you're looking at the manifestation of that chip on a shoulder. It's growing to gargantuan size is what it's doing. So that's where you are with this thing. Overall, that's just something that, again, you know, these guys are using for self-motivation, self-preservation, for a way to try to succeed on the football field every week. And, you know, they're very single-minded. They've got the blinders on. They're like racehorses. They got the blinders on. They're thinking nothing about what their job is and what they have to do to succeed, and they want to win every little individual battle. That's what they do. That's what they're paid to do. No other thing about running up the score enters their mind. That's the last thing they're thinking about when you're out on the field and the whistle blows and someone hits you upside of the head. We're pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports. He'll be in a national conference call with his partner, Phil Simms, for CBS coming up in a couple of moments. And he's gracious enough to visit with you and Patriots fans here for just a few minutes. Jim, it's great to visit with you again.
Thank you. It's good to be back with you, too. And I'm just so looking forward to the game this weekend. And it's just been really special watching this super team develop. It's just, you know, this is one for the books here, maybe. Maybe the all-timer if things break the right way the rest of the way.
I couldn't agree more. I happen to think that, you know, this game is shaping up to be maybe the last team that has the ball wins, you know?
You know, you got to think that way. You got to think that maybe we'll see a game that could be like 42-38 or something wacky like that. I don't see any reason why it won't be that way.
I certainly would think nothing else other than that. I also think that with the Patriots being a favorite over the defending champs in their building, I think that gives a little bit of emotion to the side of the Colts this week.
Well, it certainly doesn't hurt the Colts, their psyche. I'm sure they've got to be saying, wait a minute, we've won 12 in a row. We beat New England. We won the Super Bowl. We're undefeated this year. We come off of back-to-back road games in a six-day stretch and really trounce them both, Jacksonville and Carolina, both with winning records. And we get to come home to our building, and you know, that's kind of a semi-sizable spread on that game.
Yeah, I agree.
But,
I mean,
you know, the thing, like, I've been asked this question a few times here in the last couple of days, and you know, it's not that anybody's – it's not like some guy in Vegas is dissing, you know, the Indianapolis Colts. They set the line merely by the amount of money they expect to be flowing in on the two sides. So if they made it a pick game, I guess if it was a pick, then there would be too much money on the New England side.
Right.
So that's the only thing that moves those lines is the guy that's out there gambling. I'm certainly not endorsing it. But it goes to tell you what the public – What the fans of football out there see with this New England team. They have them. They are the ones that are rating them as such a sizable favorite.
That's absolutely 110% correct. Now, in light of what you've seen the Patriots do, especially over the last couple of weeks, how do you feel about the perception now that seems to be rather prevalent amongst other teams, other fans, and certainly members of the media around the country on the Patriots running up the score on other teams?
I think it's ridiculous. I just think it's just something to talk about. So they've put up, let's see, 48, 49, 52 in their last three games.
Right.
And hey, I really heartily endorse what Coach Belichick says when he says, not my job to stop us from scoring. I've always believed that. I don't know what these critics expect them to do. And, like, Randall Godfrey has been the most vocal, you know, critic of the whole thing, the
right.
Washington linebacker. And, you know, at one point he's asked, would you like to play him again? He says, would I ever? I'd love to see them again. Well, are you sure? you just saw them, and they just ran past you, Godfrey, for 52 points. You really want to see them again? Because it might just be the same thing. I just don't think it's an issue at all.
Well, you know, I put it to our fans a little bit earlier here, Jim, before you joined us. I said, you know what, I think that's great. If somebody really wants to do that and they're offended by what the Patriots have done, then here's how you solve it. First of all, you learn how to tackle, or at least you learn how to slow down the Patriots' offense. And then if you're good enough to get out of your division and you're good enough to get out of your conference, then you guess what? You'll get another chance in the Super Bowl. So just, you know, let your playing on the field speak for itself. I don't really know how to make it any more simpler for anybody else out there.
You know, I got a kick, too, out of Godfrey saying that he cited some legendary coaches who wouldn't have done this, one of whom was Bill Walsh. I'm trying to think of the other. It might have been Joe Gibbs, might have been his own coach. But, you know, Bill Walsh, you know, God love him. What a beautiful man he was, and we just lost him here this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, no one ever tried to charge Bill Walsh with running up the score, but you look at a couple of his Super Bowl wins.
Yeah.
They were like identical to what the Patriots just did to Washington this week.
I believe one of them was 55-10.
It was in New Orleans.
So, right. I thought so. I thought so.
And then he put 49 up on San Diego when Steve Young threw. Well, maybe that was by that time that might have been Seifert. But yeah, he put 55 up. He had another one like that. And wait a minute. You guys just use him as an example. What happened there? Are you giving him a free pass on that one?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and frankly, knowing what I remember from, you know, the 1960s and those Packers, I would think that if they had a chance to, you know, absolutely pummel somebody, that would have been exactly what Vince Lombardi would have asked his guys to do.
Well, I do believe that if you try to get to the root of it all, there's two things to me that stand out. And one would be the fact that they're just extremely talented and well-coached, okay? So that's a given. I mean, this team, they have constructed now the master team.
Mm-hmm.
But the second thing is, I do believe in my heart that they have somehow each internalized the slam that the organization received for this whole debacle at the beginning of the year.
Right.
This thing that blew up in their face, and the media, as we in the media, I hate to even say that, but as we can do,
right.
You know, we get on a topic like this week, the hot topic everywhere, and I've been on radio shows all day today, you know, the hot topic is this, are they running up the score thing? That,
mm-hmm.
that seems to be the thing that everybody wants to talk about today. But when the whole Spygate thing, and I hate that title of it, by the way, but when that whole thing surfaced, you know, there were enough columnists out there who went too far, enough commentators who took it, I believe, a little bit too far. I actually thought that the punishment, and I'm a huge, huge Roger Goodell fan,
mm-hmm.
I thought the punishment was too severe because I really believe that this, like it or not, and I'm not a fan of not endorsing cheating on any level, but I do believe that this is absolutely one of the little behind-the-scenes, you know, routine parts of the business, trying to get an edge, trying to steal a signal, the things that the links that people go to try to get information. I mean, everybody has done that, to slap the coach with $500,000 and then on top of it to take a first-rounder, which means you're probably taking a player that's been on your roster for 7 to 10 years just to eliminate that player. It's pretty stiff. You know, there are others out there who are calling for forfeiture of the game. They're calling for, you know, Coach Belichick to be, you know, suspended for 4 or 5 games. I think the penalty was plenty severe, believe me. But that's not what I'm really trying to make a point of. I'm trying to make a point of those in the media who then came back and said, that's a tainted victory. That stained those 3 wins. They won because they cheat. All these absurdities that cut to the core of every single player and individual in that organization, challenging their integrity and trying to, you know, besmirch and sully everything that they ever accomplished. You can't tell me that in their heart of hearts. I don't believe this has ever been verbalized in a team meeting. Guys, let's go show them, you know, how we win. I don't think that maybe that has been, the dots have been connected. But I think that in some ways, many of those people in that organization, players and coaches and others, have internalized it and are taking great satisfaction out of inflicting this kind of punishment on a weekly basis around the NFL.
I don't think I could have ever put it as eloquently as you did. I think you're dead spot on. Jim Nance from CBS Sports joined us here inside Patriots Playbook as the Pats and Colts get ready to have, I guess, this week's version of the game of the century. It's kind of unusual that we've gone this far into this season, and this is the second time this year we've had two undefeateds meet during the regular season to this point. What do you think this says about how the hierarchy in the NFL has built itself?
Well, I think that, first off, game of the century, I think that you could build an argument here. And I am not one to, I don't need to hype the game. I'm not going to add one more viewer by trying to make some grandiose statement about this game.
True.
But I do believe, whether it was our game or Fox's game or NBC's game, I think you could build an argument that it's the biggest regular season game, arguably the biggest regular season game in the history of the league. I mean, try to give me a candidate that would be its match or its equal. You have the biggest rivalry in the game today, and it's been the biggest rivalry for a good 6-7 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, New England was Peyton and Indianapolis's nemesis for long enough. You got the two best coaches. You got Belichick, Dungy. You got Brady, Manning. You got high-powered offense versus high-powered offense. You got the first time back on the field since, you know, one of the great championship games. I know you guys didn't care for the outcome, but that was, I always use the word epic to describe that AFC title game.
Right.
And all that coming together, and now you have the first time in history two teams have ever been matched undefeated this late in the season. I mean, it's just, it's storybook. And again, if you're out there and you're on the fence on whether to watch it or not, I'm not trying to twist your arm. I'm truly not. This is just how I see it.
Well, I think, you know, I don't think you're going to have to twist anybody's arm around here that they're going to be involved in this game. I just, you know, so many people around here, and fans primarily, Jim, is where I'm going with this, so many fans are caught up in perception and whether or not a team is respected. Everybody wants to be the good guy. And, of course, the Patriots back in 2001 were the feel-good story. And so the franchise has kind of morphed from being the good guy now to the bully on the block, and I believe that some fans are having a hard time of that. And what I've basically tried to explain is that this is a natural byproduct of the success that you've built for yourself over the course of the last 7 years.
Yeah, it comes with it. You win long enough, and people start to try to find everything they can, warts and all. They want to start trying to tear you down. And they've definitely transitioned from the feel-good Patriot team that won fittingly, you know, in the 2001 season when we were all Patriots,
right,
to where now it's like, they're winning by too much, or you know, these nasty accusations that they somehow only won because they were, you know, cheating and all those, you know, ridiculous extreme overreactions. And yet, you know, I think Indianapolis is still a little bit in that honeymoon stage. I think if fresh off their first Super Bowl win, you know, Peyton's on every commercial, Dungy's got the number one best-selling book, and you know, they right now have the golden image.
They definitely do that. I'd be remiss.
And all that, by the way, means nothing come Sunday. Who has what image, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Those guys won't be thinking about image when they kick the football off Sunday.
Right.
I know you're just getting into your game prep, but what do you think this game will break down on Sunday? What do you think will end up being a deciding factor?
I think the biggest question mark, I don't have any doubt that Peyton's going to be able to, you know, kind of move up and down the field and put together some nice-looking drives and get in the end zone a bunch. But I think the question is are we going to see this New England offense, which looks like it can score on any play from anywhere on the field and doesn't have to work that hard at it? Can somebody make it a little bit more challenging for the Patriots to run up and down the field, or pass up and down the field, more like it?
Mm-hmm.
You really get the feeling that no matter where you punt the football to the Patriots, you know, doesn't matter, fine. You just pin this inside the one. Good, nice punt. That just means we're going to have to go 99 and a half yards, you know.
That's the way it works.
You know, I did that first game of the season,
mm-hmm.
And it's interesting. Of all these breathtaking drives they put together this year and the numbers they've been able to ring up, I almost said it on the air that day. Their first drive of the season went 91 yards,
mm-hmm.
And I knew it the minute that it went 91 yards. That the number 91 was a very significant number for a lot of the players on this team because of the off-season strategy tragedy down in Louisiana.
That's right. You know what? I hadn't thought of that until you just brought it up.
You know, I thought of it right on the spot. I was doing the game with Phil, and I thought, somebody will be saying, wait a minute, how do you connect that? But I don't think anybody on the team probably is even aware of it. I may even bring it up on the game on the broadcast on Sunday. But their season, they could be, if they get past this one, and you can never look past anybody. That's the old cliche, any given Sunday, all that nonsense. You know, you got some tough ones in Pittsburgh. There's one or two others that get your attention. But I would really think if they can get by the Colts, you know, we're now going to have to start looking at this team in the context of the all-time super teams. And I think their strategies for weeks 15, 16, and 17 would still be to go for it, to step on the pedal and go for it.
Whereas
when Indianapolis was threatening 2 years ago, they were up
right
to 13-0.
Sure.
They clearly defined it as not important to them.
Well, based on what we've seen, I think to this point in time, with the way the offense has performed, I would have to concur with that. Jim, thank you so much for spending time with us today, and we'll look forward to the call of the game on Sunday.
Thank you. It's great to talk to you, and we'll visit again as the season marches on.
That's great. Appreciate
that. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
All right, Jim Nance again from CBS Sports, visiting with you inside the Patriots playbook. What are your thoughts on what Jim Nance had to say? Agree? Disagree? Concur? Is he full of it? What do you think? Did it validate anything that was going on in your own head about not only the Patriots, but about this matchup coming up on Sunday in Indianapolis? Or about anything that may have transpired on this football field to this point in time this season? in light of the 48, 49, 52, whatever they've scored over the last few weeks on offense? I mean, honestly, does it change your thoughts one way or the other? Does it validate what you think? Webradio at Patriots.com. One word, that's the email address, webradio at Patriots.com. And the phone line's available for you as well, 508-543-7482. Again, 508-543-7482. If you'd like to call into the program, please do so. We're asking you if you believe today that the Patriots indeed are running up the score. If they are, does it bother you? Does it not bother you? Could you care less? Why does it bother you? If it does. If you're a fan from another team, why would you care? Because if it were your team doing the scoring, you wouldn't care. Colts fans, I'm talking specifically to you. If it were the Colts doing what the Patriots are doing right now, you'd be loving it. In fact, everybody would be loving it, and that's the sad part about all of this. And if you say, oh, it's not sportsmanlike, well, okay, if your team were doing it, you'd be finding a way to make excuses for your team. Fact is, it's just playing football, pure and simple. That's all it is, nothing more, nothing less. If you have a problem with it, stop it, or at least slow it down. And the Patriots have built a team that right now, to this point in time, through 8 weeks, nobody has slowed down. Nobody can slow down. Will the Colts be that one team? Maybe. Maybe the Colts end up outracing the Patriots to the finish line. Who knows? That could happen. I mean, I think we definitely could have a 38-35 kind of game this Sunday. And, of course, if we do, this would be a game that we'll be talking about for the ages, as Jim already suggested. Be a game we'll be talking about for a long, long time. You know, maybe the Super Bowl then this year becomes anticlimactic because, you know, maybe this week is the real Super Bowl. All I know is that this week means one thing. The winning team has a leg up in home field advantage in the AFC. Overall, that's really all this game means. It means, you know, maybe something to you in the scheme of things in terms of power rankings or supremacy or how people look at you or perceive you or what have you. The only thing it really means is one team is still going to be undefeated. The other team is going to have their first loss. That's it. It's not going to knock anybody out of the playoffs. It's not going to give anybody a championship. It's not going to give anybody home field advantage, although it'll certainly give the winner a leg up, but it won't clinch anything. And you're still going to have to go out and play the rest of your schedule. Now, I do think the Patriots have a bit of an advantage here in terms of the schedule, only because they get their bye week after this game. The Colts have already had their bye week. So I think you might be able to go out there and lay a little bit more on the line this Sunday, knowing that you've got a week to, you know, rest or heal up. I don't think that'll change their game plan one iota. I really don't, one bit. But I think psychologically, you'll have that in the back of your head, like, okay, it's all right if I, you know, push pedal to metal a little bit here because I got some extra time off. Especially if you win, you know you'll get the time off. Webradio at Patriots.com. Let's get a couple more emails in here, and then we'll take a break. And then Brian Lowe from Patriots Today will also join us in the second hour of the program, as he normally does on Tuesdays. Pete from Hingham says, John, here's my take, perspective on running up the score. Personally, I really want to see them score as many points as possible. This is a chance for us to make history. 10 years from now, no one will remember running up the score. We have a chance to break the wide receiver touchdown record at 22, the touchdown pass record at 49, the overall points scored, and point differential. I would love this team to be remembered as the best team ever, and these records would help. We have already won 3 Super Bowls. Let's say we win 2 more. Combined with all these records and a 19-0 season this year, we could be regarded universally as the best team ever. I also don't really see this similar to Brett Favre taking a dive to Strahan. Brady is still competing against first-string defenses whose job is to stop him from getting into the end zone. Favre went out of his way to help Strahan. The Redskins did not go out of their way to help Brady. Well, that's very true. A little bit of an extreme example, but I get your point, Pete, sure. I realize we are risking some injury, but I say go for it. No mercy. These aren't Little League games. I want the records. I want to see Brady going on two-minute drills when we're up 52 to nothing. Well, I don't know that you necessarily have to go that far, but I get your point. Fact is, play football. Don't let the score of the game dictate what you should or should not do on the field. And anybody who says, oh, you got to let up because you're already up, you know, 45, that's an insult to the players on the field. You're asking the players to do something that, number one, is against their nature. Number two, that could get them hurt. Number three, that could keep them, and this is no slouch here, all right? It could keep them from advancing their careers. You want to score. You want to play well in the little time that you have out on the field. You want to show somebody that you can do something. So to ask, you know, substitutes to slack off, or the common misperception that, oh, we're putting the subs in, that means that naturally you're going to slack off. That's not right, nor is it accurate. Now, it's one thing if the subs who come into the game can't hack it, which I think there was a little bit of a problem with against Miami specifically. And if they're not playing well when they're out there, then quite frankly, I have no problem with the coaches pulling the second teamers out and putting the first teamers back in regardless of the score. They're trying to build something here. They're trying to build a championship team. And the way that you can build a championship team is through getting maximum effort on both sides of the ball with everybody that's on the roster. And so if you're not performing to the level that you need to be performing when it's your time out on the field, then you deserve to come out. You don't deserve to be in there. We'll put somebody in there that will do the job. Again, keep in mind, you're trying to create something here in terms of being a championship caliber team. That's the biggest thing. 508-543-7482 is the telephone number. Brian Lowe from Patriots Today joined us here in studio, and Mike in Tampa joined us here inside the playbook. Hello, Mike.
How you doing?
Great.
Yeah, I was calling. I'll touch on a little bit about the running up the score deal. I've always had the opinion if you can't stop someone, you don't deserve to be worried about whether they run up or not, even when it pertains to a guy dancing in the end zone. I've always said, hey, stop him. You don't want him dancing on you, stop him.
That's exactly right. Right, Mike.
And with my team, the Colts, we've been so good, so we never had to worry about somebody running up the score on us, so I never had that to worry about.
No, you know what? You're right. I'm not going to argue with that point. You're absolutely right. The Colts deserve every accolade that they've gotten, especially from last year. They beat the Patriots fair and square. The Patriots had them down at halftime. The Patriots could not hold them. They went in the offseason and tried to address that very issue, specifically with Adalis Thomas. You know, who knows whether or not they're actually going to be able to answer that question. We'll begin to find out on Sunday, but quite frankly, even Sunday's game, Mike, and you know this as a Colts fan as well as anybody else, even Sunday is not ultimately going to answer that question this year.
Yeah. The thing I talked about to the PSW guys about was the offensive line. I was going to run by, what do you think of the secondaries against both teams? I think both teams' secondaries are so strong, you're going to have to throw short on them. I don't think either team's going to let you go long.
Honestly, I think that's probably a pretty good, at least, initial assessment. I think the thing that should concern Colts fans is the underneath routes against the linebackers. I do think the Patriots will definitely take a stab at it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, even we talked last week going into the Washington game about, you know, how Washington plays cover two, and Mike, thanks for the phone call, how Washington played cover two, and they played an umbrella defense where they didn't allow receivers to get by them, and we still saw Brady and Moss, you know, go deep, and they finally connected on a 35-yarder in the second half. But fact is that, you know, both of these teams will probably get beat. No matter how good they are in the secondary, probably will get beat with one or two of those type of plays. I don't think you're going to, you know, establish your bread and butter with plays like that. Underneath routes will undoubtedly be the big story here. And you know, if the Patriots have a shot of getting a guy like Benjamin Watson back in time for Sunday, I think that would be a major factor in their favor. For two reasons. One, because you got to have a way to balance Dallas Clark on the other side. Number two, we saw Marcellus Rivers drop two this weekend when the ball was thrown him in short yardage situations.
Benjamin Watson's an important guy this week, an important guy during the week. We see if he practices at all Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and whether or not he plays. He's he definitely is an important guy for the reasons you mentioned. And Dallas Clark, to me, I mean, he's one of the best tight ends, pass-catching tight ends. And they've seen a few good ones this year. And if we saw anything from last year's game against Indy, the way they came back was the ability to use Dallas Clark efficiently over the middle, the speed factor, obliterating the Patriots' defense. I think the Patriots are better equipped to handle Dallas Clark, but they need to have their version of Dallas Clark. And the closest they have to that is Benjamin Watson. And I'm very eager to see if we have an update on him tomorrow.
Yeah, hopefully that will be the case. Yeah. By the way, how was Jacoby Ellsbury's taco?
I had a feeling that's what Gary wrote over there. An excellent decision on my part to take advantage
of
that.
So you went to a Taco Bell?
Oh, of course I did. It is packed.
I believe it.
We got there just before it really. We got there just before
Right at 2 o'clock?
So ridiculous.
It was soon after 2. And if I got there really any later, it would have been, all right, turning around, got to go. Here's the thing, Gary. I don't mind Taco Bell. Taco Bell is a place that I sometimes have lunch at anyways. Tuesdays happen to be a day where, you know, the schedule, as people know who follow the Patriots, it's a little more flexible because there's no, aside from coming on this show, there isn't a lot of specific items on the docket during the day at specific times. It just worked out that way today, and I got a full lunch. I didn't just get the free taco.
I was going to ask you. That was the other question. Was did you just go for the free taco and order nothing else?
Nope, grilled stuffed burrito as well.
Okay.
Grilled stuffed burrito. No. I bought lunch.
Okay. Now, if they were giving you a grilled stuffed burrito, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, exactly. But that's not happening.
The grilled stuffed burrito is a little more substantial. I don't – put it this way. If Taco Bell was more than 5 minutes away,
right,
or if it was on a day where I really would have had to maneuver my schedule – or if I had zero interest in Taco Bell, I wouldn't have gone just for the 99-cent taco.
Or if you'd had zero interest in the World Series of the Red Sox.
Exactly. If I, you know, you need to have awareness.
The dude, man.
Oh, geez. Wow. A lot of other people from here, in fact, Gary, I'm not going to name names, were there. So, What do you got?
So ridiculous.
Well, it might be ridiculous, but I'll tell you what. Aside from the Red Sox, the big winners in the postseason this year, Taco Bell and Jordan's Furniture.
Absolutely.
Without question.
Without a doubt.
Because, without question.
No, the people who got the furniture.
The people who got the free
furniture
from Jordan's were the
big winners.
Well,
I'll tell you what. They were the big winners that you get some free furniture. Jordan's, good publicity.
Absolutely.
They did well.
Oh, my God, I am the winner.
But bottom line, John, thanks for asking about the Jacoby Ellsbury.
I was actually thinking about going, and then I said, you know what, it'll be too crowded. I have a Taco Bell right down the street from where I live.
And do you
within a mile and a half.
Is Taco Bell in your rotation?
Taco Bell is my son's favorite fast food joint. So because it's his favorite, I could take it or leave it, but it's his favorite. So we end up going there probably once every 2 weeks.
And your son is how old, 10,
12?
12. 12. The one segment of the population I think that this really worked out well, high school kids. There were a lot of high school kids.
Yeah, of course.
They eat Taco Bell probably. It was right, school's over, let's go to Taco Bell. It keeps kids off the streets is really what I'm saying.
Taco Bell's doing a service to our nation's youth.
Right.
What was John Lester's girlfriend giving out, anything?
Oh. Was she there? Was she at a Taco Bell?
Well, I saw at the game.
Yeah. Well, I would imagine.
Really? Okay.
Like that, huh?
Gary approves.
No, but it was, went to Taco Bell, enjoyed it.
Good.
You know, you had a choice. Crunchy taco or
soft
taco.
See, now my son.
So they're giving you a choice, Gary.
Taco.
It's not just a taco.
I am passing by the Taco Bell on my way home from the studio.
Well,
today
what time
when
is
I'm
that?
Done
oh,
here.
When you okay,
when
so
I'm done
you're
here, so I would still be in the 2 to 5 Eastern time frame.
Right. Well, and like I said,
ground beef only.
Great.
Could you do a chicken soft taco?
Maybe. I went with ground beef.
That's fine. Make it easy, right?
I once saw a Patriots player at Taco Bell. Didn't see him there today, though.
Oh?
No.
Now, you went to the one that's just down the way here?
Yeah.
Dan Klecko.
not Dan Klecko. Just over in Walpole, just,
okay,
up the road.
Excellent.
Know? If you're familiar with coming to Patriots games and you travel on Route 1, you might know.
Know the Taco Bell? Been by it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts? We just asked Jim Nance this question. What are your thoughts on Patriots, quote-unquote, running up the score?
You know, my thoughts are more in line with what Joe Gibbs said after the game than with what Randall Godfrey said. My thoughts are what Zach Thomas and Jason Taylor said as opposed to, was it Ronaldo Hill? I forget who it was. It seems like, these opposing teams, and I know last week I was saying that the Dolphins didn't seem to have much of a problem, and I later realized that there were a few players and a few quotes where they did have a problem. I definitely feel
Dallas Cowboys also.
Cowboys as well. No question.
Patrick Creighton.
I feel that it's the defense's job to stop them. I think it's almost more demeaning if a team
lets
takes
up
a knee, if a team kicks a field goal.
I could not agree more.
I think that's more. I could not agree more.
No, I'm insulted if I'm a professional and someone's laying down in front of me.
Now, granted, you know, when it's 48 to 21 or whatever it was in the Cowboys game when Kyle Echol scored inside of a minute, it wasn't like the Cowboys were going to have any ability to come back. But that's not the point. The point is you're showing less respect for your opponent to me if you just sit there and go through the motions and take a knee. You're basically saying when you keep on playing against the Dolphins or whatever, you're saying, you know what, we respect this opponent. We respect their ability to keep on playing themselves and maybe even get back in the game. I just think that, you know, to expect a team, you know, to just take a knee or not literally take a knee, but just, you know, those little runs up the middle where they're just going to run into their own linemen and fall down, that's more demeaning to me. That's showing. So I have no
problem. Second teamers want to play too. They have a point to prove.
Right.
They want to prove that they belong.
Right. Now, in some of these Patriots cases, it hasn't been second teamers. It's been first teamers.
Sure.
Again, I don't have a problem with that. First of all, from the player's standpoint on the field, obviously, if they're on the field, they're going all out, and they should be trying to score, trying to do whatever they're told to do. From the coaching standpoint, you know, those are, you know, I don't know what goes into, you know, if Belichick is acting differently this year than in past years in a lopsided game, if maybe the Matt Cassel would have gone in earlier than he has been, you know, if Kyle Echol would go in earlier than he has been, maybe they are keeping the first teamers in there longer, but it's still the job of the opposing team to stop them rather than whine about it afterwards.
Here's the other thing, and I mentioned this early in the program, Brian. The byproduct of this is whether it is a perceived bullying by the Patriots or not. In reality, fact is that as long as an opposing team thinks that it's happening to them, an opposing team, if the Patriots starters stay in that game, some cheap shots are going to come.
You know, that is one of the, you know, possible byproducts. And, you know, I guess in some ways all it takes is either one coach or one player acting on his own to decide, you know what, screw this team. I'll take the fine. I'll take the punishment, the suspension, whatever it is. I'm sick of what they're doing, and this is what I'm going to do about it. You know, that's a scary thought. But I don't know who's going to go out and do that. You know, is it someone in your own division? Well, then, you know, the Patriots would do that to the opposing team at some point. You know, I don't know. There's some fear there, but, you know, I don't know if I'm worried about you. Is that something that you think?
I definitely think that if this continues, I don't know that it would happen so much this week, because quite frankly, the Colts are just as capable here. But in subsequent weeks, if this continues and the talk continues and the Patriots are looked at as the bully on the block, mm-hmm. I guarantee you some knucklehead somewhere in one of these teams that the Patriots physically are beating up on is going to take a shot.
Right.
It's going to happen.
It does just take one. It takes one.
And that's
guy.
All. That's it all it's going to take. Guy. And then people are going to scream, well, then why did you do this to begin with?
Right. Why is Brady playing in the
fourth quarter when you're up 38-7?
Right. Why are some of your first string defensive players out there so late? I mean, those are the questions where, you know, week after week, you would think that they'd want to, all right, Vrabel, Brewski, you guys were up by 30, fourth quarter, you're going to sit. There's some fear of that. But. Like you said, I don't think it would be this week. I think it would take one guy who is maybe in the league by a string, and you know maybe just decides, nah, I'm taking matters into my own hands.
Yeah, I agree. All right, we continue with some emails at webradio@patriots.com. Telephone number 508-543-7482. If you have comments, questions, concerns, criticisms on the upcoming matchup with the Indianapolis Colts. We can also do a little recap off of the Washington Redskins game if you wish to do so after the 52-7 thrashing on Sunday. This email comes from Aaron, who says, I think another part of this running up the score thing is the frequency. Most of the time when a team wins real big, the opposing team is having a bad day. Also, we all know no team has scored this many points in this many games, so it is a little different than one good team blowing out a few teams in a season. Like a caller on PFW said, teams should expect it. They all know it's coming. It's happened 8 games in a row. It almost happens it will. As a fan, I like it for about 3 quarters, and then the 2007 MVP is taking into the end zone and a keeper at the end of the 3rd quarter.
Getting angry at false starts up by 50.
I actually like that. I saw that when he's out, you know, and the game was already out of hand.
That's a
pure competitive.
That's a
urge.
Pure. I don't look at the scoreboard. I don't look at the time.
And that's just, what you want out of a guy who's in a position like Brady. You want that out of your quarterback.
I wasn't criticizing there. I'm just saying that not only is he still in the game, but he's acting as if it's 0-0 in the Super Bowl. And that's good. I'm saying that. I'm agreeing. That's good. He was visibly upset at a false start call with 4, 5, 6 minutes left in the game of a 45 to, you know, nothing game. And that's good stuff right there. But, yeah, the question is more, you know, what should he be in there? That's, you know, that's a question. That's a valid question.
I think one of the things that we need to bring out, Brian, from the game on Sunday, and there's probably not a lot that we really need to bring out or recap over because, quite frankly, it was lopsided.
Right, as of all these games.
Yeah, but I think we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about Mike Vrabel's performance on Sunday because he really had a game that really got overshadowed, I think, by the mere score of the game and Brady's performance naturally. But the fact is that Vrabel scored his 10th touchdown of his career.
Right.
He's caught 10 passes when he's gone in at tight end, and he scored a touchdown on every pass that he's caught.
Right.
And the fact is that how Washington left him unguarded, undefended right. in the end zone is mind-boggling. And you know what? When you talk about running up the score, shame on Greg Williams and the Redskins for not defending
right.
it. Did they
right.
not do their homework and think that when number 50 comes right. in the game, you got to have somebody on him because they can throw to him?
If I'm a defensive coach, I'd much rather be fooled by Russ Hochstein actually getting a carry in the end zone and, you know, be like, all right, you know what, you fooled us there, than to have watched tape of Mike Vrabel as recently as...
Why can't I be the director?
As recently as which game this year did he have the touchdown? Was it Dallas? Just a couple weeks ago he had a touchdown, whatever it was.
Yeah. Vrabel caught a TD at Cincinnati.
Okay, Cincinnati. I'd rather get fooled by a Russ Hochstein carry than to be the next in line of allowing Mike Vrabel to be untied. I mean, he got rid of one defensive player who was up against him. He just dismissed him like Randy Moss does and had half of the end zone to himself. And that's embarrassing. I mean, Mike Vrabel, when he lines up, you've got to figure the ball is coming towards him. Now, the next time in that game that he was out there on offense, he virtually got tackled. So at least they realized he was there the second
once.
Time. Right. At least you can tell him that. I think once in his career he caught two passes in a game. Two touchdown passes.
Right, that's correct.
So that team, whichever team that was, and I don't remember which it was, you know, that's a team that should have, shame on them. But as far as the defensive plays, getting three sacks in a game is a massive game. When you can strip the ball from the quarterback all three times, I mean, getting a sack, I mean, that's a big play in the game. It's a loss of yardage for the opposing team. When you can cause a turnover, now, you can cause a turnover at the same time, that's huge. Now,
sure.
Forcing a fumble doesn't necessarily mean the ball is going to be in your possession. So there's a little bit of luck there. And, you know, the ball could not have landed any more perfectly in Roosevelt Colvin's hands with a free pass to the end zone. So there is some luck there. But what is not luck is getting after the quarterback and having the mindset and the awareness to strip the ball. I mean, that's big. And so, I mean, what a huge performance. That's a big performance against a quarterback that, you know, certainly had a lot to prove. It's not like he's any finished product. So he's got some video work to do as far as ball security. But, hey, you got to take advantage. That was their fourth straight quarterback that they faced that had never faced the Patriots before. And they took advantage certainly this time.
Vrabel for three strip sacks against the Redskins, all created fumbles that were recovered. The third of the day was the fumble that was picked up by Roosevelt Colvin and returned, 10 yards, I think it was.
Yeah, it was.
For a touchdown. He had two strip sacks in the second quarter. Both fumbles were recovered by Ty Warren.
Yeah.
A strip sack is a rather devastating play defensively.
Yeah. You know, turnovers, I mean, it is true. I mean, without having the stats in front of me, you know, you lose a turnover battle. That can be a... You know, that leads to defeat. And, you know, they also had the Asante Samuel interception, and I think they only had one turnover against, which was a strip sack of Brady. So,
right.
You know, I mean, you can look at any category, and the Patriots are pretty much dominating that.
How about Tom Brady with a couple of rushing touchdowns?
And Matt Castle with a rushing. I mean, how about this?
I think a lot of people were happy for Matt Castle.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was a tough tough circumstance for him the previous week. But how about Tom Brady and Matt Castle combined have three rushing touchdowns this year? How many do Lawrence Maroney and Kevin Faulk have combined?
I would say zero.
It is zero. Fleet-footed Tom Brady and Matt Castle, three. Lead running back Lawrence Maroney and Kevin Faulk, who's one of their probably most diverse offensive weapons, or most, you know, versatile,
right.
sorry, versatile
right.
offensive
sure,
weapons,
sure, sure.
combined zero.
I was really good in junior high, too.
Yes.
Must have been. Must have been. Yeah, I think that's a pretty good number.
But for Brady, you know, for Brady to do that, and honestly, one of the Another rushing play that he had was one of the better ones, which was running 7 yards for a first down.
Mm-hmm.
Just getting, I think it was fourth. Third down, I think.
I think it was the third
and
down
six,
play.
And he gets the, you know, gets to the first
7 yards,
first
right.
down first down at the right sideline. So, you know, he had a great great performance on his feet and with Castle. I mean, that play going 16 yards, taking a few hits. I remember his first game. Preseason game, the year he was drafted in 2005, Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was one of those games where Brady played the first series, maybe the first quarter, and then it was all Castle all the time. You could tell that he had a little bit of over-anxiousness. The kid took a pounding. He ran the ball. He had to have combined rushes and sacks, had to be double digits. And he just, you know, it was probably a little bit of a mix of nervousness and apprehension and maybe not trusting receivers. He would carry the ball, and he took some licks, and it was just, ooh, one after the other. You're like, ooh, kid. And, you know, he didn't have a lot of experience in college either. So it was he hadn't really played a lot of football in actual meaningful snaps. And you could tell he was a little nervous, and he was just taking hits. He's not afraid to take a hit, in other words. And that was a play where it probably wasn't the most advised play. But, yeah, you feel good for him getting the end zone sort of make amends for what happened the previous week.
I also like the fact that Tom Brady's performance, as good as it was, brought his overall passer rating down the season, which is pretty remarkable.
Hard to get it to go up and hard to get his completion percentage up the way he started. And what still is the most mind-boggling stat is 30 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. Not only is he on pace for 60 touchdowns this year, he's on pace to play a full season and throw 4 interceptions.
I'm also wicked handsome.
And he is wicked
when
handsome.
Did he say that? When did he do that one?
That must have been
the Simpsons.
Oh.
That's funny. That's funny.
Give all your love to Tom.
There you go.
Everyone sucks but me.
That's good.
Between SNL and The Simpsons, we got to...
Yeah, no kidding. We should have a whole... We do have a whole library, right, Gary?
Oh, sure. We still have a whole probably Bledsoe library, right? Bill Parcells library. Yeah, we could... We could have a field day.
Gary's typing feverishly now.
Maybe during the bye week.
Hey, Lisa, you look pretty hot today. Maybe we should go to lunch sometime.
obviously, what he was wearing is what
like
made the
boobs.
Piece.
Yes! I did it!
Good stuff.
Fun with Tom.
I've
huh?
had so much fun this week.
I'll bet he has.
Sure.
What was your original point now?
My original point. 60 touchdowns and 4 interceptions is what he's on pace for.
Yeah. That's just like, you know, it's unbelievable is what that is.
It is unbelievable. It absolutely is. But, and he keeps a streak of at least 3 touchdown passes. He breaks his own record week after week. Why he can't keep on going with 5 or 6, I don't know.
He's now thrown 164 consecutive passes without an interception. It ties the longest such streak of his career.
Damn right.
And the Patriots record 179 consecutive passes without a pick. That was done by Drew Bledsoe from October 23rd to November 26th of 2005.
No. Drew Bledsoe?
That's what it says.
In 05?
Yep, in 05. Which,
for the Patriots?
No, that's not right. Not in 05. That's not right. Somebody made a mistake.
I recall reading that.
Maybe that would be, 2000.
It couldn't be after 2000,
right?
Yeah, it'd
have to be 2000. Right. We'll have to check that one.
Sometime between 93 and 2000.
That's
right?
What it says. That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. Keep on with the emails here. This one comes from Bill in Salem, Virginia. I'm a native New Englander living deep in Redskins country, so great to find your program. I'm bombarded by Cheatriots running up the score and other assorted BS, and to find an ally of sorts cripes even my wife, born and raised here and a diehard Skins fan, dishes it out, even though she admits that the Pats are by far the best out there at this point. Every point I wanted to make, you keep making before I can get it typed down. Excellent.
You're doing a good job. That means you're doing a good job.
And he says, and the Sox taking the series, icing on the cake, go Pats. P.S. I think Coach Belichick reads any Machiavelli. Seems some of BB's strategies are quite similar to his, which is not a bad thing.
Yeah, it seems that way. I mean, we're going to start seeing more of that, I think, those kinds of parallels.
I think so.
Not a bad – he brings up the Red Sox. Not a terrible week to be a sports fan, is it?
This is a good week to
be
a sports fan around.
Have there been better?
I would say that there have been some that have been close. you know, certainly when the Patriots won in 04 and then the Red Sox followed it up, you know.
But an actual week.
Week
an
of
actual,
play?
An no. actual stretch of 7 to 10 days.
When 1 week where you could win a World Series and then beat the defending Super Bowl champion Colts to further your own record.
Right, to maintain
that
an
would be this could be a week for the ages.
One of the.
Well, oh, yeah.
Right.
And these guys could actually be number one in the nation after Saturday.
Playoff action is back in
Fox. Exactly. Well, I was going to bring up the Reds.
Revolution,
but,
too.
When was the last time there was a Celtics season opener where there was as
and
much
all negativity
excitement?
That's in this town sucks.
That's right, it does.
I remember he won his first game. First game, and I think they beat the Bulls. Were they coming off a champion? If they weren't coming off a championship, you know what? It was 97.
Yeah.
Did the Bulls win the title that year?
I think they did.
I remember watching that game, and boy, you know, Pitino, you're beating the defending champs. I don't know if they won again that calendar year. It may have been a couple months. No, it was
suffice to say, this is a rather watershed week in New England sports history.
Big time week.
Yeah.
Big time week, and you know, it is remarkable. And you know, I mentioned
we're probably really making some Colts fans, you know, just really ill right now.
How are the Pacers looking? What's the outlook on the Pacers season? Yeah, exactly. Do they have an MLS team?
No,
they don't.
I don't think so.
They don't.
No, I don't think so.
And There you go.
They do have that.
They do have a little bit of that, or so I've heard.
We have Loudon up in New Hampshire.
Right.
About as close as we come. So.
But it's a remarkable week, but obviously a tremendous era. I mean, if you do broaden it to, you know, the current landscape. And actually, you know, last night was the Troy Brown had his bingo event here.
Right.
And Ray Bourque was there and, you know, had an opportunity actually to talk to him. And I asked him about back in like the 80s, you know, when you know, the Red Sox went to the World Series, you know, Celtics were winning some titles, the Bruins went to the Stanley Cup Finals, the Patriots went to the Super Bowl. They weren't all winning it, but this is better than that. And he agreed. I mean, he was on the scene for, you know, 20 years or whatever it was, and this is one of the better eras. I mean, there are no holes in the Boston sports scene right now. There's no one really not holding up their end of the bargain.
The Bruins have won a few games.
Obviously, you know, the ones who have the most to prove, but they had a pretty decent start to the season. They've had a pretty decent start.
By the way, I've seen fewer hits nastier than the one on Patrice Bergeron.
Yeah, lucky that he might only miss some time. I just don't understand
how the kid Jones doesn't get the same kind of suspension. It should be, you know, and this is way off the topic here, but it should be, you know, tit for tat.
Yeah,
you know, however long the player is out should be how long you sit out.
Yeah, and I, you know, I think I read that there was some talk that, you know, well, he doesn't have a track record and all that. Well, you know what? You don't need a track record.
No, you don't need a track record.
A dirty play is a dirty play.
That's exactly right.
If you do have a track record, then maybe you get a longer suspension.
Maybe you get a suspension that's longer than the time the player is out.
But if you don't have a track record, that doesn't mean you should get less of a suspension.
No,
I
agree.
Yeah, hopefully he's okay. It looks like, you know, what may have gone from life-threatening to career threatening to maybe he'll play again, you know, later this year. So that's good news.
It definitely is. But suffice to say that it's a rather watershed week for all the teams, really, in New England.
Right.
It's a significant week.
And this is the first time two NFL teams, I don't know if you mentioned this earlier, the first time two NFL teams with at least 7 wins undefeated have played each other.
Yeah.
It's never happened before.
Never happened before
in
the history.
Now, a couple weeks ago with Patriots-Cowboys, it was only the 5th or 6th time. It was single digits.
I think it was the fifth time.
Fifth time that two teams with at least 5 wins and being undefeated had faced
But this
off.
Is the first time that two teams with at least 7
at
wins
least seven.
Have met this far in the season.
The Colts having already had their bye, they're 7-0, and the Patriots, you know, 8-0. So, and then, of course, what the question that will be after this game ends, regardless of who wins, it will immediately go, you know, we'll have this game out of the way, and it will be, will they go undefeated?
That's exactly right.
Now, the Colts, I don't know their full schedule, but they do play at San Diego next week. So they have, you know, they play at San Diego. The Patriots have a bye. So, you know, that might be, without looking at their schedule, that might be their toughest test.
Yeah, they have, I would agree with that. The Colts' schedule after the Patriots have their bye week, and the Colts are at San Diego. And then it's home against Kansas City, at Atlanta, home Jacksonville, at Baltimore, at Oakland, home Houston, home Tennessee.
So
you would think that at San Diego would be the toughest of the remaining games. Jacksonville could prove to be problematic, even though they just waxed them at Jacksonville. But Jacksonville's a team that has always played them well. And then maybe, just maybe, add Baltimore. Just because Baltimore can still throw a pretty good defense at you from time to time, but they've been horrific on offense. So, yeah, at San Diego, if they're able to beat the Patriots, then the next week at San Diego may be their last best shot at getting a loss themselves. They, too, have an excellent opportunity to go 16-0.
Right, and with the Patriots, I mean, we've seen their schedule, and if they get through this, they've got the bye. They still have each of the teams in their division once, and we've gone through what this division is like. They've got a couple of tough games, Baltimore and Pittsburgh, that we've mentioned, and you never know that last game of the year against the Giants if that's going to be a tough one. We'll see what goes on at that point of the season. But, they both have opportunities, and that's what we're going to start seeing. The Miami Dolphins, 72, we'll start hearing from them a little more as well.
Oh, it's going to happen. Yeah. That's absolutely right.
So this is a big, needless to say, it's a big game for their individual records, AFC, championship game, potentially hosting that and all that. But we're going to continue to hear the undefeated talk.
What are your thoughts then, briefly? I know it's early in the week. What are your thoughts on the matchup then on Sunday?
Well, I think the Patriots are far better equipped to play well and defeat the Colts than they were really in any of their last three meetings. We know what went on in the AFC Championship game last year defensively. They will have Rodney Harrison back, which they haven't had him. The last time they had him in a game against the Colts was that 2004 playoff game, after the 2004 season. He's missed the last three times they faced the Colts. He's a difference maker. Adalis Thomas, not only did they not have Adalis Thomas last year, they really had no one to fill that type of role, a speedy linebacker who could, do well in coverage, cover a tight end. They didn't really have that. They also didn't have much depth in the secondary. I mean, we mentioned that earlier. I mean, they have far better overall depth in the secondary. Eugene Wilson might not play. He didn't play last week, and it's a little frightening to think that Brandon Merriweather and or Rashad Baker would have to play significant time. But Rodney Harrison, makes a difference, and James Sanders has a lot more experience. So they're much more equipped. And they offensively, you don't need me to tell you, how much more, how much better off they are as far as matching the Colts. So, mm-hmm. I think they're going to win the game. I think they haven't matched up that well against the Colts, but they were able to beat them, in previous times, not last year necessarily. But, it's intriguing because of how much different the Patriots offense is than the way they've played them before. That's where the most intrigue is.
Right. All right, well, I know you got to get off to get some office stuff done today, so how about a little sneak peek of Patriots today?
Yeah, we've got starting to take a peek at the Colts earlier than usual. Usually still on Tuesday we're talking about the most recent game, but you know what? We'll wait four more years before we talk about the Redskins, man. And there were a few, some of the questions in the locker room after the game were, was there a message being sent to the Colts with this kind of performance? And of course, they're saying no, but, just kind of looking ahead to that. And also looking at Lawrence Maroney, his having some efficient production since coming back. And, starting to turn the page to the Colts.
Beautiful. Web radio at Patriots.com, 508-543-7482, the telephone number. We'll get to some emails and hear of what you have to say here on the program about our topic of the day and whether or not you think the Patriots are running it up, and does it even matter to you if you think the Patriots are running it up. Plus, we'll hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick, all still inside the playbook.
Playoff action is back in Foxborough. Once again, your New England Revolution have advanced to the MLS playoffs and are looking for a return trip to MLS Cup.
Drives it for him, and a goal! 1-0 Revs! What a huge tally for New England!
Saturday, November 3rd at 7:30 p.m., Taylor Twellman, Pat Noonan, Matt Reese, and the rest of the Revs take to the field in Foxborough, and they want you there to cheer them on to victory.
Takes a touch, and there! 1-0 Revs! The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Individual tickets start at just $18, and significant discounts are available for groups of 20 or more. Bring your family or group and don't miss a minute of this exciting playoff match at Gillette Stadium. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS. That's 1-877-GET-REVS to get your playoff ticks.
Get your ticks.
And get the Revolution.
The New England Revolution. All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything. Let's go, Pats! Woo! Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats! Woo!
And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Yes, kids. We're about a week away from playing the match game here on Patriots Playbook. We're going to have some off-week fun, bye-week fun next week here in studio. We got to figure out a great way to play this, though, because, I mean,
I
obviously...
I've got to see if it's still on the game show network, see if I can get
match
some...
Match game? It is still. I watch it on occasion. It's fun. Especially the ones from the 1970s, where the outfits are all screwy and the hair is long and the leisure suits are out and, yeah.
Gene Rayburn, I was watching one time, had a, like, Scottish plaid coat on, and it was just the most ridiculous thing you had ever seen, and the camera pulled back, it was a suit.
Yeah, completely a suit. Not just a sport coat, a suit. We'll have some good fun with this. Also next week, we're going to have the next generation of sports talk hosts here in studio for a couple of days anyway. Be some members of the sports radio class at Emerson College in Boston, which is one of the finer...
As we wrap...
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, exactly. So, and actually, yes, I will go ahead and tell you that I teach this class. You probably didn't need to know that, right?
As we wapra, blah, blah, blah.
Let's try that again. I would have given you that one on purpose, just so you could have something to use against me. I would rather slam dance butt naked with a porcupine than go through that again. Can't believe I
pulled that one out in a while.
No, that's a good one, actually. I actually like that one better than the flub. It's pretty good. That's going to happen next week on Tuesday and Thursday. We're going to have some Emerson College grads-to-be. We're all getting ready to enter into the field of sports radio. They're going to come in. We're going to talk some football with you. So we're hoping that next week, even though it is a bye week, that you don't think of it in terms of a bye week. We're hoping that you think of it in terms of, hey, let's kind of assess where we are, whether you win or you lose this Sunday. And let's turn our attention to what lies ahead for the remainder of the season. And we'll get into the issues of the day. And I'd really love to hear from you next week and get your participation on the program. And it's been great participation thus far this year, and especially this week and today, given light of the circumstances. So it's been awesome. Keep the cards and letters coming, kids, as the saying goes. Rain from Springfield. This is just another version of the last few years of the Patriots against the rest of the NFL. So what if the Patriots can score 30-plus points every week? That's what defenses are on the field to stop. To all the whiners who are getting beaten by blowouts, I dare you to look back at your team histories and see what they did in the past. This is the Patriots' time to shine. I don't care how much the Patriots blow out the other teams. I'm going to enjoy it while it lasts. That's probably putting things in pretty good perspective. Bill in Virginia. Been seeing a lot of attacks on TB's personal life, mostly by Dallas fans, go figure, impregnating supermodels, Bill Belichick's personal life, jealousy or ignorance. Most of this garbage is on faux sports. Oh, I see. Yeah, I think it's Fox Sports. is what he's saying here. So he's trying to be a little intentional with the misspelling. This one comes from Ken, who is our frequent contributor from Huntington Beach. He's from Florida. Ken in Florida here. Different one from California. Ken in Florida says, another week, another win, another small force gives its life to provide the paper that so-called sports writers to throw a hissy fit over. The simple fact the Patriots are executing their game plan with an efficiency and success rate not seen in decades. There are 53 guys out there every day working hard, whether it's in the weight room, on the practice field, or in the film room. They are working hard and giving it their all come Sunday. And why? Because that's their job. That's their occupation. And just like every other job, they have to work hard in order to succeed. Sportsmanship is all well and good when it comes to kids. You coach your Pop Warner kids to play hard, help up an opponent after a tackle, shake hands after a game regardless of the score. That's sportsmanship. And it's perfectly appropriate for the playground because you're not just teaching football, you're molding young people. These are grown men who are paid for their services. Their jobs and hence their ability to feed and shelter their families is on the line every week. I wouldn't go so much to this feed and shelter thing, but I understand your line of reasoning here. It is their job. Fail to give 110% and they lose that job. And so gamesmanship or strategy, for lack of a better word, comes into play. Saying the Patriots have no class or that they aren't good sports is naive. Good email, Ken. Thank you. Patrick sends this one. I think that the rest of the NFL fans are being shown that their teams are not putting out the best product, but I don't think it is an issue of players. I believe the product is bad from recycled coaches sticking to coaching styles and not changing with the times. Poor drafts, free agent pickups, a lot of these teams are making money with a bad product out there. If it's them, if it's making them money, then why fix what's not broken? So I like to say thank you, Bill, the Patriots top brass and players, for giving me and the NFL their best. Also well said, Patrick. Thank you. All right, Simon, in New York, New York. Good to hear from you, Simon. Says, John, just tuning in now to hear what you're talking about, the racking up the score situation. That, quite frankly, is really starting to piss me off. What the Patriots have this year is probably one of the best football teams ever assembled. And for some reason, the national media wants to criticize the Patriots for blowing teams out week after week. What does the rest of the country expect from this team after the first half? Is a football club or any sports team, for that matter, supposed to stop playing because opposing defenses simply can't stop them? It's totally asinine. It's gotten to the point where all these different personalities on ESPN and other sports outlets are saying, when New England is in the red zone and up by 40-plus, the only thing that's ethically right to do is run the football. Don't pass. Don't kick the field goal. Don't do a trick play. Don't be a bad sport. What's left to do? No matter what play gets called, someone is going to have a problem with it. And let's not forget that the running side of our offense is probably the most beat-up part of our offense. Maroney and Morris out for injuries already this year. But we should feel forced to give those players the ball, thus risking more injury, just so teams don't feel like it's being rubbed in their face. This is professional sports with professional athletes making millions of dollars to perform and in a certain way entertain. Now we have to tell some of these professionals to stop taking pride in their talent and success in order to not make other professional teams look or feel bad? It's ridiculous. I guarantee that the national public that watches football are going to be tuning in more and more as the season goes on to see one of the best teams ever to play football. And they sure as hell aren't tuning in to just complain at the television. They're doing it to watch NFL history to be made, which undoubtedly is what the Patriots will be doing this year. Simon, thank you for your 2 cents worth. And let's see. Next up on the list, Scott in Queensbury, New York. Hey, back-to-back New York State. Welcome. What about the Colts? When was the last time they took out Peyton Manning? The Packers? When was the last time backup quarterback got any time on the field? The running up the score thing is never brought up by the Colts. Is that because Peyton does all those commercials? What were the Pats supposed to do? Start kneeling it out from the third quarter on? Go Pats. This is the time I will be telling my grandkids about. The Red Sox and the Patriots. Wow. Thank you, Scott. Sam from Virginia. The reason the Patriots have a reason to play like their backs are against a wall. Other teams have been calling them cheaters, calling Belichick Belichick. The other teams in the league haven't given us respect, even after wins. We're not a dirty team. We just play well. Anybody else in our path who complains after a loss is a whiner. At least Gibbs had some class. Have you seen what Patrick Creighton from Dallas has been saying on ESPN? Talk about a sore loser. Yeah, I think I brought him up briefly, Sam, a little bit earlier, that he's one of those that's also whining, doing his fair share, a lot like the notables from the Redskins this last weekend as well. Dave sends us this missive from Alexandria, Virginia. So we've got a few Virginias as well. At the end of every game against the Colts, I'm always frustrated about how clean Manning's jersey is. But when we rush for pressure, he always seems to get rid of the ball a second before we get there. Part of that may have to do, Dave, with the fact, you know, there's artificial turf. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud here. Do you think our new front line will be fast enough to knock him down a few times to throw off his timing? And how would you guys approach next week's game? Blitz for pressure, risk short passes, which often lead to large gains. Or accept the fact that when Manning is under pressure, his read on the field and release time is nearly unmatchable. So hold our guys back in coverage. I really haven't given it a lot of thought. I just say my initial impression, looking at your posing your questions here, Dave, would be to hold back into coverage. And to try it again, what they've done in the past to cause him some confusion is change strategies and change coverages and change looks defensively to make him have to hold the ball a little bit longer and hope that you can rush with your front three or four if you're bringing, you know, a backer off the edge. So my initial impression would be to just stay back in coverage and see if you can't keep him confused for just that split second longer so your DBs, you know, can make a play. And if not your DBs, then your whoever's rushing on the edge can get in there and put a hit on him. That's just my initial impression. He says, P.S., I heard a rumor that Craig is actually Eric the Leg dosed up on a bit of helium. The more I think about it, the more I see a link. Both of them are whining guys, and neither of them seem to add anything to the conversation.
I didn't read the email, but I don't think they said guys.
No, they didn't. You want me to say what they said?
If you heard today's PFW in Progress show, it wouldn't matter.
It wouldn't matter at all, huh? Well, you looked at me funny last week for saying a particular word that kind of slipped out. I was just kind of reading it, and so I'm trying to edit as I go here.
Do you recall that word?
Yes, I do.
Do you know what that word means?
Yes, I do know what that word means.
Then whoops.
Well, but still, you know, I'm not sure that it means the same thing to the mainstream public. Let's just say that I think in every way possible, it's not good. And it was just in the normal line of reading someone's email, and that's what happens sometimes when you read emails on the fly. It just happens. Anyway, he says, if the rumor is false, I'd just say that they are one balloon away from being brothers. All right, so we're talking about Craig and Eric. I don't know about that. I happen to know Eric, and I don't think he's Craig, so there you go. Hello, John from Tampa. Hope you're doing good. This is from Luis. He says, you want to see a team running up the score? December 16 in Foxborough. That's when the Patriots will play those freaking Jets. They will destroy them so badly that the pesky rat will have to stay away from New York until New Year's Eve. Actually, Luis, I would agree with that. If there was ever a time to run up a score, and I think the fans will be screaming for blood here at Gillette that day. It will be 45 to whatever, and they'll be screaming for more. Not enough! 52. Not enough! 60. Not enough! Todd. Okay, here we go. He says, November 14, 2004, Houston 14 at Indianapolis, 49. It was 35-7 in the third quarter with a minute 36 left and an 80-yard pass from Dallas Clark. And the media says, what a team. QB is so classy. Then he gives us another instance, November 25th, 2004. Indiana 41 at Detroit 9. 35-9 in the third quarter, 2:11 left, a 5-yard pass to Harrison. The media said quarterback could break Marino's record, could be the greatest quarterback of all time. December 5th, 2004, Tennessee 24, Indianapolis 51. It was 41-24 in the fourth quarter with 12:56 left, 10-yard pass to Reggie Wayne. Crickets. Where's the outrage? October 14th, 2007, New England 49, Miami 28. There's the crickets. 31-17 of the fourth quarter, 12:21 left, a 69-yard pass to Stallworth. The media says they're running it up. October 21st, 2007, New England 49, Miami 28. 35-17, fourth quarter, 8:11 left, 16-yard pass to Wes Welker. Media, an evil team with no class. October 28, 2007, 52-7 over Washington. 38-zip fourth quarter, 9:06 left, 2-yard pass to Welker. And the media says, break Tom Brady's kneecaps. But there's no bias against the Pats? Excellent research by you, Todd, to go back and get some of those Indianapolis dates from recent days gone by. Micaiah sends us this email from Roxbury. I'm so sick of hearing up running up the score. If a fan of any one of our opposing teams was enjoying the level of play that Pats fans are currently enjoying, they wouldn't be calling for their team to go soft on the opposition. If it were the Pats down by 38, Belichick would make sure that his defense was working 150%. If it had 150%, we still lost by a lot, then you could see that the other team was better. These people need to get over it. Go hard. Don't let us score a million points a game. It's just that simple. I swear the NFL is full of a bunch of LTs whining at press conferences and on the radio every time they get beat. He's talking about LaDainian Tomlinson, I believe, there. I'm a bit concerned about someone intentionally hurting one of our players, and I pray that it won't happen. If it were to happen, Mr. Commissioner better be on top of it and ready to set some examples, since that's what he likes to do these days. Thanks, Makia. Good email. William in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. I hope next week we're talking about why we blew out Indy. I expect a more competitive game, but we must admit our guys are playing great. I believe our defense is overlooked, but with the offense playing like a runaway train, who can blame the media for being wowed? After Spygate, many players and coaches laughed, joked, took shots at the Patriots, and now it's our turn. The difference is we aren't doing the talking. We're doing the walking. All the haters out there complaining about our score differential, I say get over it. You guys should have thought about that earlier this year when you thought Spygate was so funny. William says, Pats 41, Colts 24. So we've got an early score prediction for Sunday. Bill sends us this one from Whittier, California. John, thanks for reading previous emails. All these people who think that running up the score is disrespectful to the players on the other team are confused about respect. If you ask Teddy Bruschi or Vince Wilfork or Matt Light what they see when they look into the eyes of that man across the line from them, they will tell you that they see a very professional, talented, proud man who has earned his place on the field because he knows in his heart that he has what it takes to get up and do battle with the very best. To treat that man if he doesn't or won't or can't do what he does is the most disrespectful and condescending thing you can do to him. The measure of a player's respect isn't in what the final score is, but in how much heart and how much honor he brings to the game. Well said, Bill. Well said. Excellent job done by you. Let's wrap up with this one here, and then we're going to get off to Coach Belichick. Brian from Saugus, Massachusetts. I don't think there's anything wrong with the Pats running up the score. This is the NFL, not Pop Warner, but with enough with that, I think this game against the Colts will be the greatest game of the decade. I expect it to be a close game, but for the Pats to pull away in the second half. And he says, do you think Randy Moss will break Jerry Rice's single-season touchdown record of 22? Brian, I said at the start of the season when he was off to that great start, and I had that very question asked of me only, you know, 2 or 3 weeks into the season. And I said my initial inclination was no, because the Patriots have a penchant for spreading out the ball and hitting different receivers. I'm going to stick with my original projection. He's got 11 at the halfway point, so he's right on track to tie Jerry Rice at 22. I'm going to stick, though, with my original projection and say the answer to that is no, that he won't break it. Maybe he'll get up close to it, maybe even tie it. I don't think he'll break it. Now, unless, of course, the Patriots really start running up the score on some folks, then I guess it's conceivable. But I think by the very nature of the way this offense is predicated, they'd like to spread it around, and they will continue to spread it around, and teams will double and triple cover Randy Moss, you know, to the point where it'll be difficult for him to even go up and get a ball like he's still doing. And you may see guys like Wes Welker and Dante Stallworth step in his stead. So, no, I don't think he will. Doesn't mean he won't. He might. Because after all, he's had one hell of a year, and who's to say he won't continue to have that kind of a year? Just my initial inclination is no, but that doesn't mean the Patriots will be worse off for that, you know, any worse off for not having that particular record. We wrap up today's program with giving you an opportunity to listen to Coach Belichick from earlier today here at Gillette Stadium. Tomorrow's program will feature, we'll have the conference call for you from Jim Nantz and Phil Sims that was taking place with members of the national NFL media early this afternoon. Thanks, of course, Jim Nantz for joining us here in person on our program just for you, our Patriots fans. So we do thank him for his time, and thanks to B-Lo for popping by, as he always does. But we'll have that conference call. We'll probably also get inside the Patriots locker room for you tomorrow and let you hear from the players as they prepare for the Indianapolis Colts. Maybe even a few surprises. After all, it's a big week here in Foxborough. Same Pat's time, same Pat's channel, manana.
Kind of following up on what I said yesterday after the game, I thought that, you know, individually and in units, our team played well yesterday. Players did a good job. We had a lot of guys step up and play well, make a lot of good plays. It's really hard to single anybody out. I know there's a few guys that had some big plays and so forth. I don't want to take anything away from them, but, you know, we had a lot of guys do a good job. And I thought this was our best week of practice. I thought that the players that gave the scout teams that gave our guys a look at what Washington did an excellent job preparing them for the game, and I think that showed up. We had some good execution on a few plays that we really hadn't run very much before, but it worked out. the timing of the plays worked out pretty well because of the look we got in practice. So, you know, the assistant coaches, the players, the practice squad guys, you know, we really had a good week leading into this game. And, you know, we'll need to have another one like that going into Indianapolis. And we made the practice squad transaction. We get that. So you guys got that. And, you know, so now we've, you know, put this one behind us and move on to the Colts.